The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm really grateful that you're here with us this morning for Christmas Eve. As he said, it's been about 10 years now since we moved in and had that first prayer service to plant a church here. And after 10 years, we finally have a Christmas Eve service. So that is progress. That's awesome. So thank you for being a part of history. Small history. I'll remember it for sure. We are going to be looking at a passage I think is going to be very familiar to us, especially if you've grown up in the church. At this time of year, this is one of those that is often talked about, and people read it out loud often, and it's one that if you listen to any Christian or Christmas music, it's one that's referenced a lot, and that is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So if you would stand with me as I read those verses out loud. And you'll notice there's some highlighted words. Kids, there's a crossword that you got this morning. In your little packet that's on this, I just gave you all the answers right here. So if you're quick enough to nab them all. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of God. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, what I want us to see quickly and briefly from here is Isaiah is giving us a promise. And in light of Christmas Day, in light of the birth of Jesus, what we are hearing this morning is that Christmas is the dawn of true peace. Christmas is the dawn of true peace. These words, which we could find a lot of comfort in this time of year, actually are spoken to a people who are in immense suffering. Isaiah 9 starts out in verse 2 by saying that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Biblically speaking, when you come across this word darkness, you're coming across an image that's often used to describe death, describe suffering. It's this realm of evil that is opposed to goodness and really is opposed to God. And we understand that today. We still use darkness to talk about that, to talk about this heaviness of life on us. And I think the way we talk about darkness today is often rooted in the way the Bible talks about darkness. It's this place where we can't see the next step ahead of us. And the people who Isaiah is talking to here are sitting in a darkness that they've created on their own. They've rejected God. God offered to protect them from in this battle against a couple of enemy nations, and Israel, their king, rejected the offer and instead chose to use another nation named Assyria as their protector. And Assyria did its job really well, but then they turned and attacked Israel. And Israel has been devastated. You should picture just the worst kind of devastation. Assyria has been called by modern historians the Nazis of the ancient Near East, and they earned that reputation. And so here they are in a darkness, in a situation that they created for themselves. And how does God respond to them in this moment? I think if it were me, I might be tempted to go, you know, I told you this would happen. Or like this idea of like you're getting what you deserve kind of mentality. But God is not like us at all. God moves toward people who have rejected Him, who are sitting in the midst of their own misery that they created for themselves, and He moves toward them with the promise of hope and peace. Their own decisions took their future from them. It's like they're in the middle of this grand movie and somebody just turns the TV off. The screen goes black. And here in Isaiah chapter 9, God turns the screen back on, and He turns it on to a future and a vision that is far better than they could ever hope for or imagine on their own. Because that's who God is. The Apostle John uses Isaiah's words when he describes the birth of Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And so, yeah, Isaiah 9, verse 7 is coming. God has promised that to them, to this people that has been destroyed. And as I read Isaiah chapter 9, it reminds me of one of my favorite movie scenes. In the movie Avengers Endgame. Now, classic, right? Recent classic. I figured all of you have seen it because it made all the money in the world. So I hope I'm not ruining a 10-year-old movie for you. But there's this scene, and I think you know what I'm talking about. Like, Thanos has single-handedly defeated the most powerful, like, Avengers. And now it's just Captain America standing there, and Thanos' army is accumulating. And I got this picture offline, and I actually circled Captain America. Everybody else in this picture is an enemy. And this is kind of the picture of Isaiah 9. It's God's people on their own, standing and facing the darkness and the enemies around them. And if you remember this scene, and if you can go online, look on YouTube, and just YouTube this scene and watch when people, as people watch, all these portals begin to open up around Captain America. And all these superheroes from the Marvel Universe begin to come out. I mean, people go nuts as this happens. And what Isaiah 9 is showing us is that this is our situation. We're in this situation where we're in darkness. The world around us has turned black. We have no hope. But in this moment, this portal opens up, and God sends out a child. That's God's answer in Isaiah 9. To all of our enemies, all of our darkness, all of our pain and suffering is a child. If you look at verse 6, you can see what he means as he describes who this child is. He says that this child is born and given. So he's born just like any other human being. I could go down to St. Luke's Hospital right now, go to maternity ward, and before getting slapped, walk into every delivery room and go, "A child is born, a child is born, a child is born." You can say this about everybody in this room. A child is born. In other words, this child is human. But he's also a son that is given. And this is what makes him unique. He has been given to us from God. And he is given to us to be a king. A new king. The government is upon his shoulder. Meaning he bears the full weight of ruling authority. Israel's past kings have failed them. And so God is going to send them a new king. One who will rule in his stead. And this king will rule as God with us. This phrase in verse 6, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Every single one of those identity markers and descriptions is of God. Of this divine human being. So Wonderful Counselor means that not only is he wise, but wonderful means miraculous. It means he has the mind of God and is able to make all of his plans come about because He is wise beyond human description. He is wonderful. He is the mighty God, which means there is no being, no entity stronger than Him. And so in facing all of our darkness, we have the one who has the master plan of how to defeat that and also the strength to accomplish that. But He's also the everlasting Father. And here He's not talking about God the Father. He's talking about the way the King will interact with people like you and I. And maybe you don't understand what it means to have a good father. I know a lot of people don't. But I think we also understand what it looks like to have a good father, because we can judge whether or not someone's a good father or not. And we know that a good father provides and he protects and he loves and he cares for his children. So our King Jesus, who is wise beyond belief and stronger than any other entity in the world, who defeats our enemies like that, is gentle and lowly and kind towards sinners like us. And He is always that way. Everlasting, never ending. And He is the Prince of Peace. He rules over a reign and a world that is always and forever as it should be. That's what peace is, right? And Isaiah actually describes this peace in verse 7 when he talks about how there is justice and there's righteousness there. All the wrongs will be made right, and there will be no future wrongs to exist. And the heartbeat behind all of this is the zeal of the Lord. In other words, for God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. This is Christmas, guys. What gets lost in my mind a lot of times when I think about Christmas is, you know, is a baby. And if you've ever held a newborn baby, like, they're helpless. They're also really cuddly. They're fun to hold. Like, it's really peaceful. It's really calm. It's really beautiful. But here's what it lies behind that moment with Jesus. That helpless little baby is the Son of God given to us to be our warrior king and future Prince of Peace. It is God's final act of war in defeating the enemies of sin and death that have plagued us since Genesis chapter 3. In Jesus' birth, we see that baby in the manger taking the first step toward the cross of Calvary. Jesus was born to die. To die for people just like us. Because people like us need peace. The reason this promise of peace resonates with us is because we live a pretty restless life. And the reason we live a pretty restless life is, on one hand, we live in a world that has been broken. I mean, it just is. Every single one of us has a story at some point of how our bodies have failed us. Friends and neighbors or family members that we love have struggled with sickness or illness or an untimely death. Like, and I know we're at Christmas, but this kind of, as you get older, this kind of story begins to tinge all of this joyfulness of our Christmas season with this, just kind of this heaviness. We begin to look around the table at Christmas and see, like, this person's not here this year, and this person's not here. This person's life has changed. And it just cultivates in us this desire for peace, for something new, for something different, that God would actually do something about this. And that's not even talking about the things we do to ourselves, the restlessness we create because we're relying on our own wisdom and our own strength to create our own comfort and peace. We resonate with Israel and that idea of we're just reaping what we've sown, because we do that and experience that all the time. And the beauty of the gospel is that the same God who stepped toward Israel with grace and hope and peace is the same God who steps toward us with grace and hope and peace right now. That when we wake up in the morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we can wake up no matter what, no matter whatever situation we are, condition we are in, and know that there is hope in this life. Now, we can look around the world and go, okay, we're still living in between verses 6 and 7 here in Isaiah 9. Christ has come, the kingdom is still to come. But we can also look around our world and see how faith in Christ is building out this peace in our world right now and can build out in us. Like we in the Western world live on this foundation that has been built by the Christian faith. Like recent scholars have commented about how Western civilization is indebted to the Christian faith. Because in the Christian faith, there has become the basis for racial and gender equality. It's only because of the Christian faith that we have a notion of human dignity and human rights. The innovations in science and medicine, the value of charity and generosity to the vulnerable and the poor, the rise of education for all people, the beauty and growth in the arts, all of that is tied and rooted in the fact that Jesus Christ came, lived among us, died, rose from the dead, and created this church that then believed and lived as he taught. The Roman culture that Jesus was born into was not a culture where people were valued and loved for who they were. That came about because God values and loves you as you are. And his people embraced that. And God has shown us that in the manger, in the birth of his Son. And so this morning, you and I can have peace. And we can live out that peace among others. And in order to do that, we first need to have peace with our God. Instead of relying on our own wisdom and strength, we need to turn to our God. Repent of our own self-reliance. And trust that He is wiser than we'll ever be. And stronger than we'll ever can be. And that He loves us and is for us, and we can trust Him. The birth of Jesus is a symbol to us, a sign to us that God has not forgotten you or left you here to do it on your own. You don't have to make it up the mountain to Him by your own effort. He has come down the mountain to you and will take you up there with Him. Just trust Him. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 4 and 5. He says that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses, our sins, and raised for our justification. That is our peace with God. And so therefore, since we have been justified, made right by our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The King was born to die and give his life for those who rebelled against him. And when we have peace with God, that's where we have true hope. That we can have peace in our life with others. Like Paul keeps going in Romans chapter 5. He says, through him, that's through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Because we have peace with God, because God sent His Son to bring that peace to us, we can have confidence that even the worst moments of our lives are used by God, not as a punishment, but as a good and kind Father to craft us and mold us and grow us. To build in us that sense of hope that Jesus was born to give. Like Christmas is God's proof that He has not turned His back on you. That He is with you, even now with you. His love has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, as we think about Christmas, we think about the hope that is wrapped up there in the manger. Let us take our lives and our circumstances to Him now and embrace God's wisdom and His guidance. Rest in His control and His sovereignty. Find in Him our comfort and peace. And in knowing that we are utterly secured in our Lord and Savior, stand up with a boldness and an empowerment to actually live this life with joy, no matter what comes. Christmas is the dawn of true peace. I hope that this week, as we reflect on the Christmas story, that we feel that peace in our heart. And know that it's true, no matter what circumstances come our way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now to respond to Your Word, Lord, I pray that we would kind of just take the moments we have here to respond to You. Lord, the Christmas story is one that a lot of us are familiar with, and I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, that for those who are raised in the church and have heard this story, that we have heard it. But Lord, I also know that there's a temptation in us to kind of move past it. To forget that the peace that was offered to us in Isaiah 9, we still need it now. Lord, we still rest on our own wisdom and strength way too much. Lord, we still depend on our own logic and our own wisdom and our own plans to provide comfort in this life, to provide peace in this life. And we often, far too often, end up broken, lying on the floor of our life, just wondering what happened. And yet, Lord, there You are, still there. Lord, Your grace for us is beyond description. That You, by Your patience, would not leave us there in our own mess, but pick us up yet again and remind us that all of our enemies have been destroyed at the cross of Christ, and that there is life in walking with Him now. Lord, may You remind us of that now. And I pray and ask that in Your Son's name. Amen.